We're going to start by chanting a bhajan. Bhava Sukhya Kabur Gai.
Page 5.
I'm sorry if there's not enough song books, but maybe there is. Singing news of the greatest happiness at the place known as Surabhikunj in Sri Navadvip, the marketplace of the holy name, has now been opened, and Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor. Such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale merely for the price of one's faith. Seeing the assembly of devotees eagerly waiting to purchase the name, Lord Nityananda first examines each of them to test their qualification, then he sells them the name by bargaining for his price accordingly. Oh, my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then just come along with me, for I am now going to meet with this Nityananda Mahajan. Thus you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I will also take my due commission, and in this way all three of us will fulfill our desires. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful. Accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gaura, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna, as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Now, dear friends, please reject all of Maya's entangling snares. If you are a householder, then just remain at your home. If you are renounced, then just live in the forest. Either way, nothing more will trouble you. We no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel, for the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. Bhaktivinoda loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter. So, I'll speak a little bit about this, but before I go directly to the topic, I just wanted to... Is this working? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, there we go.
Microphone tends to not pick up very well, I notice. Okay now?
Yeah. Better?
All right. Little bit to introduce the theme subject for today's workshop. I guess it's called the Japa Workshop, and it's always introduced to me. It's my first time doing this, and I'm not really fully prepared, if I have to be honest, that I had a different conception when it was first presented to me. I thought I was going to be speaking to a small group of maybe 10 members of the congregation, and we were going to, for a couple of hours, talk about chanting Hare Krishna. And it turned into something quite different. I'm not complaining, but I was surprised to find out that it was billed as as what it has turned out to be today. And
we are also not complaining.
I feel somewhat debilitated or limited in my ability to conduct a workshop for such a long period of time discussing the holy name. And I wanted to make it clear that I am a struggling sadhaka myself. And I do not want to create any false expectations of what could potentially happen today as a result of our collective effort. That I'm not coming here to teach something that you yourselves are not already practicing. I'm just coming and collectively in an attempt to share my realizations as many of you have probably already experienced yourselves, as if you fit into the category of a struggling sadhaka. Struggling sadhaka is somebody that is attempting to come to the platform or come to the point of being able to chant the pure holy name. Prabhupada oftentimes gives the example that the means and the end are the same in Krishna consciousness. We are chanting Hare Krishna to chant Hare Krishna. The difference is that we ultimately want to chant the pure holy name and we want to experience Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, how Krishna is none different and fully manifesting himself within his name. And then when one chants the holy name of the Lord, when tears come to the eyes and one's bodily hairs stand up and one experiences the different symptoms of ecstatic love, then he knows that he's come to this platform of pure chanting. Until such a time, one is a struggling sadhaka. It means that he is trying to purify himself as he goes through the different stages of chanting the holy name of the Lord. First stage, of course, is called the Nam upper heart chanting on the platform of still committing some offenses to the holy name. Then there is the clearing stage, which Srila Prabhupada referred to as clearing stage, so the chanting of Namabhas. And then there's the chanting of Shuddhanam, and which, of course, gives rise to Krishna Prema, or pure ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, therefore, I thought it would be appropriate that we, rather than introducing this theme of chanting Hare Krishna, and as if I'm going to be teaching everyone how to chant the holy name of the Lord on the platform of Shuddhanam. As a matter of fact, many of the lectures that I had given in previous years were being compiled, and the book was to be entitled Approaching the Pure Holy Name. And there is a method or a means for approaching the pure holy name, and one actually at least has to come to the platform of the clearing stage. At that stage where one is not committing any offenses and one is actually endeavoring to overcome all of one's anartas that are there within the heart, which are obstacles for chanting the pure holy name of the Lord. The example is given that just as the sun is always in the fixed position in the sky and is always effulgent and is always giving off endless light, but our experience of the sun is affected by the presence of clouds in the sky. We may not get the full experience of the sun, although the sun is always bright, we don't see it always as bright because of the presence of clouds or fog. So in the same way, the holy name of the Lord is ever blissful. It is full of unlimited ecstasies. It is Krishna himself. But if we are not experiencing it, it's due to the presence of the clouds of anartas and to the fog of ignorance, which is obstructing our experience of the pure holy name of the Lord. So, as a struggling sadhaka, my effort today would be to discuss the subject of clearing these clouds of anartas and destroying the fog of ignorance, so that we can gradually at least chant on the platform of Namabhas. Namabhas actually bestows also many great benedictions, although Namabhas in of itself does not give pure holy name of the Lord, or does not give Shuddhanam. But it is actually the stage, which Srila Prabhupada calls the clearing stage, where it dissipates the darkness of ignorance and eradicates the reactions to sinful life. And this is in itself is a very extensive topic, and I don't know to what degree I'm going to cover it, but I'm going to be speaking about chanting from that platform more than falsely trying to present that everyone today, within a matter of a few hours, will be chanting Shuddha Nam, and you'll be seeing Radha and Krishna dancing before you, Krishna playing his all-attractive flute, which is attracting all the residents of Vrindavan, and Srimati Radharani and all the cowherd girls are entering into the forest at the sound of Krishna's flute, and we'll be able to enter into that call also and experience the beautiful cowherd boy standing in the groves of Vrindavan by chanting his name, seeing him and experiencing with all of our senses. We can hanker for it. Certainly we should aspire for it, and we should know that is the goal of our chanting. There should be no doubt, and one should have faith in this goal. And although I presented myself as a struggling sadhaka, one of the topics we wanted to speak about today is a topic about faith, that although we're struggling, we should have faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, we can achieve all perfection. I was just recently reading, there's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Agyas cha shradadanas cha samsayatma vinashyati. And the verse where Krishna explains that for the ignorant and faithless who doubt the words of the revealed scriptures, they cannot attain to God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is neither happiness in this world nor in the next. So Krishna, in this verse, in the Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about persons who are actually three types of persons. Agya, Ashradadana, and Samsayatma. The first, the Agya is the ignorant person. The Ashradadana is a faithless person. And the Samsayatma means the person who is the doubter. And there's a distinction. He says that the Agya, he is compared to a fully ignorant person, is just like a foolish animal. And the animal cannot achieve pure state of God consciousness due to having insufficient brain substance. But and he says that for the Ashradadhana, those who are faithless, they have some knowledge of scripture. But when they see some contradictions or hear contradictory statements spoken by different representatives of scripture, then they cannot have any faith in it. They have no faith, even though they have knowledge of the scriptures. And he says that the doubter, he has some faith, but when he reads the scripture, he thinks, this is nice, but I don't know if it's going to be effective in my case. And therefore, although he has faith, he's always doubting. And because he's always doubting, he cannot apply himself with conviction, with optimism and hope. And therefore, Krishna is saying, for the doubting soul, even an ignorant person, he can experience happiness in this world. He can experience some flickering happiness of sense enjoyment. But for the doubting soul, he can experience happiness in neither case. He cannot experience happiness in this world, and he cannot experience happiness on the spiritual platform. So therefore, Krishna says, for the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world or in the next. So one actually has to have faith. And therefore, this song that we are singing about the marketplace of the holy name is a description of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description about the marketplace of the holy name, how Lord Nityananda distributes the holy name for the price of one's faith. Faith is the most important commodity. It's the most important asset that one can possibly obtain. One actually has to have faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, I can become a lover of God. If one has that faith, then one can go on struggling. Being a struggling sadhaka is not in itself considered to be something that is negative or to describe somebody as being fallen or incompetent or incapable. The fact that one is struggling is auspicious. Prabhupada would oftentimes say that when we're struggling, at least that we're endeavoring to overcome. It's when we overcome the obstacles. It's when we give up the struggling that Maya, who's more powerful than us, will easily capture us, take us over, and we'll become. We can easily fall victim or prey to the objects of sense enjoyment. But for one who's always struggling, or as Krishna says, taste some satatam yuktanam, bhajatam piti purvakam. While those who are always endeavoring, worshipping with love, then I reciprocate with their constant endeavors, and I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So to be struggling is not a sign of weakness. To be struggling is a good sign of strength. It's when one has stopped struggling that one becomes very weak. So therefore, faith is required to go on chanting. We oftentimes give that explanation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who talks about patience in Sri Bhakti Loka. And he says that everyone is endeavoring for some result, the jnanis, the karmis, and the bhaktas. The karmis, they want some fruit of result for their sacrifice. The jnanis, as a result of their austerities, they want to achieve liberation. And for the bhaktas, they want to also a result. The bhaktas, the result they want is Krishna's pleasure. He said, but sometimes we see that the bhaktas, when they do not achieve their result, they give up their practices in sadhana. And when they give up their practice of sadhana, they do to weakness. He said, therefore, patience is required. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines patience as that a devotee should be patient and he should be convinced that I will get Krishna's mercy, whether it will be now, 1 year from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, or many lifetimes from now. One day, I will get Krishna's mercy and I will go on chanting Hare Krishna and endeavoring to please Him. That type of patience, he says, is required to achieve success in devotional service. One actually has to be convinced. To become convinced means we have to associate, certainly, with those who have very strong faith. And therefore, this bhajan in the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord, it talks about how in the marketplace the only commodity or the only currency which is used in the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord is faith. And this is a very, very important point. I've been speaking a lot on this subject over the course of the last year. It was the catalyst began, I think, when I was in Moscow, and one devotee was asking me a question. We were having a group discussion about taking care of others in Krishna consciousness. And one devotee, he asked the question, he said, what should we look for? What sign should we see if we have a responsibility to help others in Krishna consciousness? What should we be looking for to see that we're actually making progress? Because there should be some symptom that there's progress. What is the symptom of progress? I thought about it for a little while, and I realized that actually what we should be looking for is that one's faith should be becoming stronger. We should see that one's faith is in the process of pure devotional service, in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, in the process of association with Vaishnavas. It should be becoming more and more strong. And therefore, for a devotee who is preaching to others, he's always very eager to see a result. Someone may say, well, we're not supposed to look for results. We're not supposed to be fruitive. As soon as there's a fruitive meant, but he's not looking for result for himself. What is it that he wants to see? He wants to see others' faith grow in Krishna consciousness. For a person who has a materialistic agenda, or some Prabhupada even alludes to this in one commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, he talks about a person who takes to a religious path simply in order to achieve some prestige and position. He's looking for some prestige, or he wants some respect for himself, or he may want some profit. He wants to profit himself and gain. He may think that, yes, let me obtain a follower, or let me obtain some adoration, let me obtain some personal benefit, a personal agenda. That's not the type of profit he's looking for. When a person is actually preaching Krishna consciousness, he's looking to see faith. I want to see faith because faith is what's very valuable in the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord. And similarly, the person who is coming to associate with other devotees, should he be looking for? He should be looking for somebody who has strong faith because he wants his currency to grow also. Just like in the business world, and we use this example that people who want to increase their wealth, they tend to associate with somebody who can help them, teach them how to make good investments. And I think I gave that example when I was here in Boston, the billboard that I saw that of the. It was, I don't know if it was a workshop. What did they call it? Some kind of seminars with Donald Trump and George Foreman anyways, people were paying good money to get their association. And why did they want their association? Because here's people who've demonstrated that they have success in the business world. They know how to make good investments and get good returns. And they're hoping that by investing some money in this seminar, they'll learn how to take whatever money they have in their storehouse and learn how to make good investments so they can get good returns. So this is how it works in the marketplace of the material world. Everybody's looking, as Prabhupada said, money, 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 sweeter than honey. Everybody is looking to how to increase their wealth because increased wealth means increased enjoyment. But in the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord, the only currency which is accepted and which has value is faith. So everybody who has just a little faith is thinking, how can I make an investment of my faith and increase it? Because I want to make a good investment. I want to get a good return. But what is he looking for his returns? He's not looking for fame, he's not looking for material wealth, he's not looking for some position. He wants to see his own faith grow. And therefore, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says right here, he says, oh my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then come along with me if I'm going now to meet this Nityananda Mahajan. And he says, you'll be able to acquire the holy name, I'll take my commission, and in this way, all three of us will fulfill our desires. So, the commission that he takes is that by he's a go-between, like this is Dalalir, he's like the trader. Right? So he, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that sometimes the trader, he'll either go and purchase, and then for what he's purchased, he'll go and he'll sell, and then he'll get the money back and he'll go and purchase some more. But sometimes he may just take on commission with the understanding that I'll just bring this person and I'll bring him back and make his payment directly to the wholesaler. And in this way, I'll get my commission. He'll get the holy name, the pure holy name of the Lord, and the person who's distributing, What does he want to increase? What is his storehouse? He wants to see the pure holy name of the Lord increase. He wants to see everyone's faith increasing. So the only currency in that marketplace is faith, and that's what's the greatest value. And therefore, whatever faith that we have, if we have, even if we have no faith, Lord Nityananda can still distribute in such a way as to create that faith. And essentially, I oftentimes think of a lecture that Srila Prabhupada once gave when he was speaking on a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was explaining that the verse Shushushoshana Dhanasya Vasa Deva Kata Ruchi. It says that by serving devotees who are freed from vice, great service is done. By such service, one awakens a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, chanting and hearing about Krishna. And Prabhupada said in this lecture, he said, I have given you your faith. Essentially, that is what he was saying. In other words, even though we have been faithless, because Prabhupada's method of distribution was so merciful, he was the most merciful. He was most merciful representative of Lord Nityananda, who had come under the circumstances that he came to, selflessly, not wanting anything, and living so austerely with persons who had no understanding whatsoever of Vedic culture, Vedic tradition, of Vaishnava etiquette, but yet extending himself to the most fallen. And his method of distribution was so powerful that what happens is that he created faith. If Swamiji chants Hare Krishna, they all chant Hare Krishna. Basically, it came down to that with some people. Now, whatever the Swamiji does, it's good enough for the Swamiji, it's good enough for me. And so, but the point is that, and Prabhupada oftentimes would say that example is even more important sometimes than precept. That Prabhupada, by his own example, he had a taste, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita Vadita Vadan Manasodasena, as we say every morning, that the spiritual master, he is gladdened, and by chanting the holy names of Krishna, then sometimes we see that he manifests symptoms of ecstatic love, and these things awaken faith. In the same way, when Lord Nityananda would distribute the holy name of the Lord, he would, with tears in his eyes, he would go out, and from door to door, he would beg others, please take up the chanting, please chant Krishna's names, worship Krishna, make Krishna your life. And he would do it in such a way, in such a selfless way, that he would awaken faith. And the acharyas give the example that just like when a person is going out to sell a person wants to sell a product, sometimes he'll send out people into the street to give out a small free sample of the product. And it's the understanding is that by giving a small sample of the product, if somebody just uses that small sample and sees the benefits of that small sample, then after utilizing it, then they'll go back and they'll purchase, the big bottle. And I remember this was, when communism fell, everybody was in the streets in the Soviet Union. Like, you see those people with these uniforms, right? And everybody was handing out, some free samples from all the different marketing companies that were going in there to try to, to step up, commercial activity in a place that was previously communist. And I would see these people all over the place, standing on corners giving out these little samples, that these big companies would come in and they'd employ people to go out and give out the samples. Well, what is the purpose? The purpose is that if a person takes a small sample and then uses it and sees its benefit, then they'll want to come back and purchase more. Same thing. Lord Nityananda would distribute in such a way that he would waken a little faith and say, yeah, why not? I'll chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada would do that. He'd wake a little faith. Prabhupada chant Hare Krishna? I'll sit with Prabhupada. I'll chant Hare Krishna too. And then by beginning with just enough of that little faith, then if we have faith in that person who has deep faith, and we keep on investing our faith in that person who has deep faith, the result is that we make a good investment and we get a good return. So the whole evolution of chanting Hare Krishna, as we said, is chanting from a platform of faith, and then as an attempt to chant from a platform of faith, we're trying to increase our faith, and ultimately we want to come to the platform of the topmost platform of devotional service, so those who have firm faith, who are never swayed from the truth, and who are personally experiencing Krishna manifesting, dancing on their tongue. So one of the aspects that we want to discuss today was about faith. And without faith, it is very difficult to continue chanting Hare Krishna. Because if one doesn't have that faith, if one doesn't have that firm faith in the objective, what is that verse? Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahe Sujida Nischaya Krishna Bhakti Kali Savakama Kirtahaya. That faith, Shraddha, is a firm, confident faith that simply by engaging in devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna of the holy name of the Lord, then automatically all one's subsidiary duties are fulfilled. Or alternatively, if I don't chant Hare Krishna, if I don't have faith in chanting Hare Krishna, even if I perfectly fulfill all my subsidiary duties, I don't gain anything. Which is also another understanding of that verse. There's a lot of people coming to this. You're welcome. I'm just wondering how much advertisement was done. So, I want to speak a little bit, but I don't want to, it's a workshop. And it's intended to offer opportunity, facilities for everybody to take part in chanting. I noticed the way the schedule was written up is that, I don't know if everybody's prepared for it, but this was quite an afternoon, which has been the way it has been billed. And when I first looked at the schedule, I was starting to think that it's very nice, you know, that if everybody has enough faith to apply themselves for 7 continuous hours in Shravanam Kirtanam, then something will have to take place. You know, it's a surrender. There are many other things we could be doing on a Saturday afternoon. It's not raining. but it's a surrender and a sacrifice to dedicate the whole afternoon for hearing and chanting about the glories of the holy name of the Lord, and for investing one's faith in an attempt to try to increase one's faith in chanting. And the way I see it is that that especially I think that practically most of the people that are here are people who are living householders or living outside, maybe not householders in the sense of married, but many people are living outside and they have to work, they have other obligations, other responsibilities. And sometimes chanting Hare Krishna is eclipsed by many other pressing priorities. It's not really seen as the primary objective in one's life, is that chanting is the goal and chanting is the means to achieve the goal of pure chanting, and everything else is subsidiary to that. As we just quoted that verse, Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahi Sujidai Nischaya Krishna Bhakti Kali Savakama Kritahaya, which means that Shraddha is firm, confident faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, automatically all one's subsidiary duties are fulfilled. It's sometimes hard to maintain that conviction in the face of many other obligations that one has to confront living outside the temple and working and maintaining family, maintaining one's own body, and what to speak of in the course of having to work, one has to be in the physical presence of many other persons, oftentimes many worldly minded persons who are trying to oblige us in various ways in order to either sell us something or to buy something from us or to get it, to obtain our services or to render some service. By such contact, physical contact, and by such association, it can have a debilitating effect upon a struggling sadhaka. Let's put it that way. And I'm not saying that in a negative sense either, that it's understood that many people have to live like this. But and it does not necessarily have to be also a disqualification for advancing in spiritual life. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes in Sri Bhakti Loka, he says that even though we may have to be in the physical presence of persons who are worldly minded and always trying to oblige us into higher priorities other than chanting the holy name of the Lord, and then it doesn't really become association if we have a strong attraction or affection for association with devotees. As long as we're not attracted to the materialistic qualities of the materialistic person, sometimes we may think, oh, look at this person, he has so much wealth, he has such a big position, and if I associate with him, I can get wealth and position. If we're not careful by that kind of association, then our faith in chanting Hare Krishna diminishes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that also in Bhakti Loka. He says, to that degree that we're attracted to worldly objectives or worldly goals or worldly people, and we aspire for what they have, then our faith will simply decrease. But if our attraction and our affection is for devotees, and everything else that we do, we just simply perform as a matter of duty. So then, if we do it because it has to be done, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, renunciation of the mode of goodness is that one performs it because it has to be done. So it has to be done. So I do it, but I'm not attached. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? One who works, he is obligated but not attached to the fruits of his work. He is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Anashrita kama pala kaya kama karoti. So he says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he says that for a sadhaka, and I am assuming, I hope I haven't jumped too far, but I'm assuming that everyone who's coming for a 7-hour workshop on chanting Hare Krishna at least identifies with the word as a sadhaka, or can relate that a sadhaka is somebody who engages in sadhana with the purpose of achieving sadhya, which is the goal that they want to become lovers of God. At a sadhaka, as we said before, we call it the struggling sadhaka. You know, he adopts some means for which every day he is doing something which is important for his spiritual life, and therefore, because it's important for his spiritual life, it's most important. Prabhupada would oftentimes say, if one has $1 million, then all his $10 debts are taken care of. Here we talk about money again. But Prabhupada was very expert in taking our, using analogies and using things that we can easily relate to address a spiritual subject matter. And Prabhupada, he even used analogy to show the importance of analogies. He gives the analogy that if one is looking for to see if the moon is moving across the sky, if one looks at the moon directly, you can look at it for a long time, but it's very difficult to see the moon moving because it's we're so far away from the moon. He says, but if one wants to see the moon moving, if he looks at the movement of the moon to the branches of a tree, which is much closer, then he can see that the moon is moving from this branch to that branch. Huh? Because the trees of the branch are closer, therefore he can relate to it, the movement of the moon. But if he looks at the moon directly, trying to... It's not going to move so fast. You might get a little tired, you may fall asleep. So we need something more direct in our experience. So Prabhupada would oftentimes use these analogies that we can directly within our realm of experience to illustrate spiritual values or spiritual principles. And he said, if you have $1 million, then all your $10 debts are taken care of. So in the same way, if we have our life is meant to be based upon that spiritual life is that which gives us Krishna. That is the objective. That is the goal for chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna gives himself. He gives himself personally to that person who approaches him with faith and love. When one has Krishna, or as Yasmin Vigyate Samitam Vigyatam Bhavanti is described in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is known, then everything that else is knowable also becomes known. When Krishna gives himself, then everything else comes with it. So for one who has faith that I want Krishna, that is a sadhaka. His faith, and he has faith that the means for obtaining Krishna is chanting Hare Krishna. Because he knows that anything else in this world, whatever it may obtain, what may obtain in this world is temporary and will provide some flickering pleasure, some flickering happiness. But if one really wants to obtain the ultimate fruit, then he should be looking for obtaining or developing his pure love of God. So therefore, a sadhaka is somebody who every day he engages in some activity which is going to help him to develop his love for Krishna. That is a sadhaka. Whether it's chanting Hare Krishna, which is the most powerful, most effective means for actually for developing one's love of God in this age. We can read so many different references from scripture. And as we said before, agyas cha shradhanas cha, those who doubt the words of the revealed scriptures, right, they can have neither happiness in this life nor in the next life. But for one who has firm faith in the statements of the scriptures, especially the statements which speak about the glories of the holy name of the Lord, then they have faith that, yes, by every day, by chanting Hare Krishna, I can gradually cleanse the contamination within my heart and I can actually directly perceive the Supreme Personality of God in this life. One who has that faith and conviction, then Krishna, who is within his heart, Krishna reciprocates and helps him. As Krishna says, I give them the understanding for which they can come to me, because they have that faith and conviction. So a sadhaka means... And I am assuming, as I said, that everyone who's come to discuss this subject of chanting Hare Krishna and is willing to dedicate 7 hours to it, that I'm speaking to a group of sadhakas. And if I'm not, then I hope that maybe by speaking about this in the way that I am right now, I can inspire you in such a way to aspire to become a sadhaka. Because sadhaka is a very auspicious position to be in. And therefore, as we said, that we wanted to have a workshop where those who are can at least invest a good solid period of time in increasing their faith in the most auspicious activity that one can possibly engage in, which is chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So we want to have a workshop, as we said, where not only we hear, but we can also practice chanting. And as I saw in the schedule, that it was scheduled that there would be 3 hours of japa chanting. So that's a long time. They'll be broken up. We'll be doing some things in between. But I would like to encourage everybody as much as possible that... try is to take full advantage of the facility which has been made available today and to stay as long as you possibly can. And and chant with us. My tendency of the mind is to be restless. We're going to read a little bit about, as I said, I'm going to read some things also about the distractions of the mind, and about inattentiveness, and about humility, how one should chant in the proper consciousness of humility. And I want to leave also time for questions and discussion, hopefully we can all benefit, as myself included. I realize the necessity to make this sacrifice today for my own spiritual well-being. I should focus my consciousness and attention also for 7 consecutive hours on the topic of chanting of the holy name of the Lord and trying to chant. I wanted to read a little something. Forgive me for reading something. I have a lot of things to read. I don't know. I didn't. I don't want to make it too much reading. Anybody have any questions? Anything I've discussed so far? I hope I didn't weave something that is difficult to conceive. But no questions at all. I was going to read Nimai Nitai. I build the workshop to be centered around 3 topics, which was faith and humility and gratitude. And he had done that based upon something that I had spoken on. By the way, I just wanted to say that the reason why I requested no recording is there's a tendency is that when people have all their equipment out, they think, I don't have to listen, I can always go back and play the recording. And I know that tendency is there, I've seen it many times. I have devotees come to speak to me, and they're asking me questions, and I can see that they're a little listless, they're half there, but they got the MP3 player there, thinking that. I told them, I tell them, turn off the MP3 player, make the recording in your heart, okay? it's much, much more, it's a lasting recording. Therefore, I'm humbly requesting, I don't know if everybody heard that or anybody, but please, no recording today.
May I also make a petition that you turn off phones and anything else that beeps, rings, sings?
I'm going to read something that, as I said, I spoke on. In November, one God brother said he was producing a book of interviews, and he wanted to interview various devotees about some of their realizations about chanting, and he's going to be publishing the book soon. So he came to Govardhan, where I was at the time, and he asked me if I would agree to an interview. And I told him I would speak briefly. And this is a transcription of that interview. And Nimai Nitai had heard me speaking about this, I think about a week or two ago. And that's where he got the subject of faith and humility and gratitude, because I spoke about these 3 topics. So before we begin chanting our session of japa, I'd like to read this. Especially throughout the last year, due to illness, I have given more time to chanting and meditating on the holy name. I have carefully considered different stages of chanting, Although one should certainly aspire to chant the holy name of the Lord in pure consciousness at the level of full remembrance of Krishna, for most, that stage is only an aspiration, not a practical level of advancement. Devotees therefore need to adopt a reasonable means to purify the heart for achieving the goal of fixing the mind in full recollection of the Lord's pastimes. Of course, the best process is properly chanting the holy name itself. Purification manifests to the degree one opens the heart to the holy name. I thus find it very helpful that along with endeavoring to remember the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes, to meditate on my exclusive dependence upon the holy name. Srila Prabhupada often gave an example to show how that purification works. As an iron rod in fire makes the iron rod hotter and hotter, similarly, by coming in contact with Krishna in the form of his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, one becomes progressively purified. One thus has to fully open his heart to the holy name so that it enters deeply and cleanses the heart by its influence. The consciousness that I have been trying to cultivate while chanting in order to open my heart is the feeling of unworthiness to chant it purely, feeling of inability to be fully engaged in devotional service, and the feeling of insufficiency in love for Krishna. It is quite like the mood described by Srila Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He describes that one of the characteristics of a devotee is that he always feels that he doesn't have enough of Krishna's mercy, that he doesn't do enough to serve Krishna, and that he doesn't have enough love for Krishna. A humble devotee is thus feeling the need more and more for Krishna's mercy, his service, and ultimately the intense desire for more and more devotion. That feeling of inadequacy, however, should not be done in a mood of self-indulgence, shouldn't come to the point where one is thinking himself so unqualified and fallen that he is totally focusing only on himself. Unless one can properly relate to the concept of being fallen, how can one feel the need for mercy? A devotee should think that the Lord is very merciful, more merciful than one can imagine. And because of that kindness, he is manifested in his name. One should meditate on verses like Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoisava Jagat Nistara. The Lord incarnates in this age of Kali in the form of his name, and anyone who associates with this name is associating with Krishna directly and certainly becomes delivered. In this way, the Lord is so merciful that he kindly enters the heart to purify his devotee. But first one must consider himself so much in need of that mercy and so dependent on him in this way that he is drawn to reciprocate those sincere feelings. As Srila Prabhupada would say that one should chant as a child sincerely crying out to attract their mother's mercy. Before meditating on different aspects of the Lord's pastimes and features, while chanting I try to absorb myself for a specific period of time on how much I am in need of mercy and why I am in need. I look at my inadequacies, all the unwanted things that are within my heart, and realize that unless I can get mercy, I have no hope. Another very important point is that the holy name is more effective when chanted with faith. I often use the example that because the holy name has been given to us through the lips of Krishna's pure devotee, it is imbued with all the necessary potency to manifest Krishna Prema, pure love of God. I have that deep confidence, the firm faith in Srila Prabhupada's empowerment to deliver the holy name. That he is Kali Kalera Dhamma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti, Vina Nahi, Tari Pravartana. That confidence and faith in Srila Prabhupada's ability to give the pure holy name, which can cleanse my heart, is also an essential ingredient for the mantra to work. Without faith that the holy name is everything, that the holy name can clean my heart, that the holy name can bestow full mercy upon me, it's very difficult to focus the mind on how the holy name it's very difficult to focus the mind on the holy name consistently and with confidence. Therefore, I need to not only carefully chant the holy name, but I need also to hear the glories of the holy name from Srila Prabhupada and from advanced Vaishnavas. I need to read and hear about those glories repeatedly, and also to discuss with others the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy name, as described in revealed scriptures, and from the mouths of the Vaishnavas. There is no other way to taste the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. This type of meditation is definitely absorbing. It instills within me a genuine feeling of humility and invokes a feeling of repentance. In turn, such contrition awakens a kind of emotion within me, an inner impetus to take shelter of the holy name. It is difficult to just go on thinking about one's inadequacies and fallen nature without taking refuge in the remedy, the holy name. I also have faith that not only is the holy name extremely merciful and can deliver me, but it can also forgive me. That gives me hope and instills further faith. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the holy name is even more merciful than the form of Krishna, because it is shelter in the holy name where one seeks forgiveness. It is true that the Lord and his name are non-different, but still there is a slight difference. The holy name is even more merciful than the form of Krishna, which gives me hope and confidence and serves to stimulate this type of emotions that inspire a strong need to chant more and more. This state of helplessness and dependency is thus the best catalyst for deeper meditation. In other words, by first looking at my own inadequacies and realizing my helpless dependence on the holy name, my chanting automatically becomes relevant and meaningful, because I can see the direct connection between my chanting and my heart, desires and needs. That deep desire in the heart for shelter is thus the main feeling that is immediately accessible to me when chanting. Although I pray to the previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, certainly they are all accessible by calling them. The mercy of Krishna and Krishna himself is manifested most fully and completely in his name. There's more. I wanted to stop, and we can read more a little bit later. But as I was speaking, that chanting Hare Krishna should be relevant. If we don't feel its relevancy, the tendency is to think, I chant Hare Krishna because I have to. Or I want to get initiation. I have to chant 16 rounds a day. Sometimes that is a very compelling, you know, one's driven to do that. It's the first stage of love, as described by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it's not the highest stage. So chanting should be relevant, and it shouldn't be that I'm chanting Hare Krishna simply so that I can say I chanted Hare Krishna, or so that I can say I completed 16 rounds of Hare Krishna. But chanting should be relevant. And for it to be relevant, one actually has to feel a sense of dependence. And that sense of dependence means is that one actually has to feel a sense of inadequacy, which is so contrary to the, you know, the modern, especially for the American way, it seems. You know, everybody is taught to be proud, you know, to be a rugged individualist, to stand on your own two feet. It's, you know, and they think that, you know, to be helpless and dependent is a sign of total inadequacy. And but actually, we see in examples in scriptures that persons who are fully dependent on the Lord become very powerful. And they accomplish so much. And the result is that people come and they fall at their feet, worshipping them. You know, like the example of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. You know, Durvasa Muni was so totally dependent upon the Lord Maharaj Ambarish was so totally dependent upon the Lord when Durvasa Muni and cursed him and tried to kill him. He didn't try to protect himself. He just took shelter in what was the most spontaneous for him to do, which was to remember the Lord. And because he was so totally dependent and so selfless in his dependence that the Lord gave him protection. And Durvasa Muni was then apprehended by the Lord himself in his effort to protect his devotee Maharaj Ambarish. And when Durvasa Muni went back to the Lord for forgiveness, the Lord said, "Hey, look, don't come to me. I'm not under control. I have no control over what I do. I'm completely dependent upon my devotee. He's so powerful that you've got to go to him." And Durvasa Muni had to go out and prostrate himself before Maharaj Ambarish, because what did Maharaj Ambarish? He didn't try to. "You're cursing me? Well, I'll counter curse." Same thing happened to Parikshit Maharaj, actually. Parikshit Maharaj had the potency to counter curse the Sringi, the son of Shamik Rishi, but he didn't counter curse. He just accepted it as the will of the Lord. Just fully dependent upon the Lord and just accepted his decision. And he achieved perfection. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami in 7 days. He accepted the curse, was bitten by the bite of the snake bird, and achieved all perfection by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord was always constantly protecting him. So it is an illusion to think that helpless dependence on the Lord is a sign of weakness. Now, of course, we don't want to be helplessly dependent upon somebody else. Certainly, that's a sign of weakness, to be helplessly dependent upon, somebody else for our maintenance, or to be helplessly dependent upon, to be always at the mercy, of having to satisfy or please our boss, or whatever the case may be. And there's so many expressions that go on in the workaday world of things that people have to do certainly to be at the completely at the mercy of a person who is merciless is an unfortunate position. And Prabhupada even explains that in one place in his lectures and the teachings of Queen Kunti. But to be fully dependent upon Krishna is the safest and the most auspicious position to be in. So therefore our chanting should be done in that consciousness that I must not have love of God, because when I chant, tears don't come to my eyes. And I'm not losing consciousness of the external world. And I'm not seeing Krishna fully manifest. I don't see him dancing on my tongue. I'm not experiencing the astasattvika bhavas, the eight ecstasies of transformation of my body, and where tears are flowing from my eyes, or eruptions on my skin, and hair is standing on end, and something must be wrong. And if we realize that, and if we are at least faithful enough to know that it's not the holy name that's wrong, it's that something, still something within me that's wrong, and therefore I'm not experiencing this. Therefore, I'm dependent upon the holy name to uproot the obstacles, to clear away these anarthas, as we said before. The anarthas are compared to be like the clouds obstructing our vision of the sun, and the fog is compared to be like of ignorance, which needs to also be destroyed. So I'm dependent upon the holy name. Nama parada yukta nam nammanye harantigam avishranti parayuktani tani vata kritani cha. The chanting in the Padma Purana, it stated the chanting of Hare Krishna is recommended for those who are committing offenses while chanting, because if they go on chanting and endeavor to overcome these offenses or these anarthas that are there within the heart, then gradually they'll become freed from these offenses. Such is the power of the holy name. So I'm dependent upon the holy name. So one has to feel a sense of inadequacy. I'm not chanting purely enough, but so dependency, as Prabhupada says, is a child crying out for his mother. Prabhupada, in one, I have a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada, and then we're going to begin chanting. Prabhupada is saying right here, he says, of course we have to control the mind. I have already instructed you and all my students that the restless, fickle mind can only be controlled by putting the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. And that can best be done by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And there is no alternative in this age. By chanting without offenses, the devotee cries to Radharani and Krishna to please lift him out of the material energy and put him into the spiritual energy, which is devotional service. There's another prayer. Simply pray to Krishna that you'll be able to, by His grace, to serve Him nicely. Our prayer of the Hare Krishna mantra means addressing Radha and Krishna for being engaged in their service. Hare Krishna means, O Hare, O Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service so that I can get relief from the service of Maya. Just like a person resigns from an inferior quality of service and accepts a superior quality of service, similarly, our prayer to Krishna is to give us relief from the inferior quality of service to Maya and to be engaged in the superior quality of service to Krishna. And then Prabhupada, one other, says what our prayer should be. He says, we are very small, very insignificant, so what can we do? Simply Krishna wants to see that we are engaging our time and energy in His service. And you always remember to abide by the laws of Krishna. As described by His bona fide representative, and the passage of going back to Godhead is assured. This is Krishna's mercy. But pure devotees do not even want to go to Krishna's abode. Simply our prayer should be, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me as super soul, so you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even you send me into the hell, it doesn't matter. Just so long as I can always chant Hare Krishna. A wonderful prayer. Very powerful. Our chanting, we should try to proceed before beginning our chanting. We should try to pray for mercy. Pray for the opportunity to remember the holy name of the Lord. And I'll give you an example. This is one prayer that one devotee asked me a question. What prayer should we offer to remove fault-finding mentality, which is considered to be like an anatta? And I said that it is good to first offer prayers spoken by the acharyas. But devotees can also pray in their own words, saying, for example, I am fallen, I am finding faults with Vaishnavas. I know that if I continue to fault find, you may remove me from their association. And I can think of nothing more unfortunate than to be kicked away from the association of Vaishnavas. Understanding my fallen condition, my Lord, I open my mind and heart to you. Please teach me the ways of devotional service. Teach me how to become a Vaishnava. Please enter into the core of my heart and uproot these sinful desires. Please protect me so that I can always live in the association of your devotees. Please help me to overcome these obstacles. By my own efforts, I can achieve nothing. Only by your mercy can I possibly overcome the obstacles to my spiritual life. And although I have no qualification to even ask this of you, still I have no other hope. If I cannot come to you and reveal my heart, then I have no other hope in my life and cannot make progress in devotional service. I therefore surrender myself to your will. If you so desire to help me overcome these obstacles, please enter into my heart and rip them out. I know when you begin to rip them out, it will be painful. But if that pain comes as a result of your mercy, it will be my happiness. Please be merciful to me. Pray like this before beginning your japa. Place yourself in a position of complete dependence on the holy name Doing so is how a devotee overcomes obstacles in devotional service. The Lord's holy name will act, being the most merciful manifestation of Krishna. So, I would suggest that we chant some japa with, maybe if everybody, anybody feels the need, can stand up for a couple of minutes and then sit down, and I'll give time for a prayer, a short prayer. We can all just simply stand up for a minute and stretch our legs. I was told by Giriraj Maharaj, I was just with him a few weeks ago, Giriraj Maharaj told me that Prabhupada told him that for chanting japa, best position, number one position, is sitting down. Number two position, if you can't stay sitting down, is standing. And he said number three position is walking. So I oftentimes have to walk. I have bad knees. I can't sit down continuously. But I'm going to try to do it today, because I want to try to, as much as possible, stay in number one position. Especially since I don't have the best position because of my prayers and my sincerity of heart. I don't have the best position for reciprocation. So at least if I can get the best physical position, I have some hope. So we can all sit down now. So everyone has their beads? Yes? So I would suggest that let's chant one round together, everyone chanting at the same time. And then after we do that, then we can go off into our individual japa. And let's chant until when we begin chanting individually, I'll decide how long we'll chant for. But first, if we can all take a little time, and along the lines that we have spoken about, the prayer, we should try, at least in our hearts, to compose some prayer before we chant. It helps us feel and make the chanting relevant, and it helps us makes us feel dependent upon the holy name. Okay. So now, let's chant together. We'll all chant together. One round. We can offer a prayer to Panchatattva first, and then we'll begin. One chanting. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srinivasa Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.